Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, you're welcome back. So as mentioned before the break, Mick McCarthy was in studio with us earlier on. The reason he was in studio is that he is hooking up with the good people at Virgin Media Television. So he's going to be doing some punditry with them. He'll be starting tomorrow night. And then obviously Virgin Media Sport, their new channel, is going to launch at the later date of September 18th. So Mick's going to be involved in their football coverage. So I welcomed him to studio and I said clearly they had Souness and they had Niall Quinn and Neil Lennon, but they said, "We ain't going anywhere unless we have Big Mick."
Well, that was nice. I wish they were picking a football team and they said that. That didn't happen too often. I'm delighted. Yeah, it's great. I'm out of work at the minute and I'm enjoying doing some punditry work that I've been doing and some co-commentaries. Mm. And it keeps me, it keeps my eye and keeps me involved as near as I can without being managing and coaching.
It doesn't feel like going over to the dark side then?
No, I've done it before. I did it the first time I did it was in 2000 at the World Club Championship when Manchester United missed out of the FA Cup. And I did it for the BBC then, and with John Champion. And I had no idea. And he gave me the best bit of advice I'd ever had. He said, "I'll tell everybody what's happening. Mm. You tell them why it's happening."
And you said, "Fine."
And I've stuck by that ever since. And yeah, I've done it before. I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I got the impression you enjoy it because I saw you do recent things even with BT and Sky Sports. Yeah. And there was the BT one where you're telling a few stories. And yeah. I got the impression you enjoyed that environment, the conversation.
The conversation afterwards, the hours programme after was excellent. That was, it was excellent, the fact that you can have a chat, you can give your opinion. You've not got somebody going like that to you, looking at you when you're cut off. It was good, and of course the lads who were on as well. You know, Jamie Carragher and Jake and
Steve McManaman,
you'll kill me for forgetting.
Martin Keown,
thank you.
How could you forget Martin Keown?
How could I forget him?
Listen,
I know, a man of my own type. The banter was good, and it's back to that dressing room banter a little bit that I think all players enjoy and they miss when it's not there.
Yeah, so I think you're debuting tomorrow actually, the France-Germany game.
Yes.
And we'll see you in action. Do you, like, when you're working in the game, would you pay attention to what might have been said on Match of the Day or the Championship equivalent of Match of the Day or Sky Sports when they're talking about you?
You know what, the Championship doesn't get that much airing. It's Premier League. And so there's not a great deal said, but you know, on different kind of magazine programmes, I guess there would be, and there's always a programme that follows the Championship and shows all the goals and all the all the comments and, you know, comments from us, the managers and the coaches. So yeah, I'd watch that. I'm not that sensitive about it at all.
Pundits that you like?
What particularly that I like? Graham Souness has always been my top pundit, and I'm not saying that. I'd only heard today he's been doing Virgin Media. I think he says it as it is. He doesn't get involved in that laddish waffle and chatting about what they did and how that had happened, and I think he's succinct and he gets to the point, and I think others feed off him, and he's the top one for me. He's the best.
Okay, interesting. Because I ask if you're going to pay attention, because we joked about this when we were at a Carlton House before last year, and there's the McCarthy's Park documentary, and you're coming off after the Lithuania win and you've beaten Iceland, and I think it might have been Mick Byrne, I'm not sure who, but you're kind of going, and is it Beglin and Giles back in RTÉ? It is it. Go on, have a bit of that.
Oh yeah, listen, I've had it with both Jim and Johnny in me time, and then I did an advert with Johnny, didn't I, for a beer. There are other beers available, of course. And I got on great with him, and you know, he got an award at one of the, despite the fact, you know, that, hey, by the way, we're all sensitive, because I know you journalists, and you know, you have an opinion, then somebody goes, so why did you do that? And you go, so we're all a bit sensitive.
Guilty as charged.
Correct. 100%. And likewise. Yeah. So, and I'm like,
it's by the way, it's a dear in a billionth, maybe a trillionth, whatever's after a trillion, I'm not sure. I can relate to a point what it's like people having opinions on your performance. So it's absolutely not easy.
So, and I'm likely to question people on that.
Which you're entitled to, I think.
Which I'm entitled to. But there was an awards dinner, and Johnny had got a special award, and I went across to him, and I'm sure I was looming large in his eye line. I don't know what he thought I was going to do, but I went across and I said, "Congratulations, Johnny, thoroughly deserved," because he was one of my heroes as a kid. I was a Leeds fan.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got on great with him ever since. And he's entitled to an opinion. Look, I've just been saying to everybody, getting older, I'm 60 in February. If it's given me anything, it's a bit more perspective on life and on people and three wonderful grandkids that I love dearly and spend time with.
Right.
Other than that, I can't think what 60's bringing me.
Probably not much, is the horrible truth, I'm afraid. And are the grandkids boys, girls?
Two girls. I've got Fionnuala Fallon, who is 5 and a half, and she is the light of my life. She's wonderful.
Right. That's a good Irish name.
It is, yes. And we've got Nancy, who's their sisters, and then I've got Sid Wilshire, who's my younger daughter's little fella, and they're just great.
Yeah, Sid sounds like a character. Sid,
he is. Yeah. Yeah, they're lovely. Great.
You mentioned looking for a job, so I mean, you really have worked continuously in this game, which is an amazing thing. I think the championship tenure, average tenure now, is about 0.86 of a year.
Yes,
what it's down to exactly. So Millwall and Ireland and Sunderland and Wolves and now Ipswich, and for good long stints. I remember you saying before, I think it was to Paul Kimmage in an interview, when you were out of work for a while, that you found it very frustrating. A few years on, are you finding this particular period frustrating?
Yes, I am. Yeah, because I've enjoyed my time off, and I'm continuing to enjoy my time, and I'm continuing to enjoy doing what I'm doing at the moment. I went to my brother's daughter's wedding, my niece's wedding last Friday in the Cotswolds. Would I ever have been to the Cotswolds wedding Friday? Not a chance. Mm. I've been away with my kids and my grandkids and my wife, spent more time with them. So I've really loved that and enjoyed that. But it's starting to get... I'm ready to go back to work.
And what is it?
If the right opportunity...
Because
then people say, what's the right opportunity? I don't know. But there can be a wrong one. And I don't want to do that.
What kind of thing feels like a wrong one for you? What certain things would you have in your mind when you say a wrong one?
Well, something that's in turmoil, but generally that's a job, I guess. Or, you know,
you're not going to take over a guy doing a
good
job.
Sunderland was in turmoil, getting relegated. Wolves was. They were talking about getting relegated from the Championship. Ipswich were bottom. Yeah. They had 13 games, 7 points. But there'll be some that have got a better opportunity if it's got a budget, if it's got... You can look at it and think, well, oh, yeah, despite what's happening... Mm. In my opinion, because it can only be my opinion, that I think they've got players that can get out of it. And if they are in trouble and you get them out of it, then can you progress? Mm-hmm. So that is something else.
And how does it work? Do you, not literally, but do you sit by the phone and wait? Do you, we sometimes see a culture of out-of-work managers will show up to games and, oh, hello, Mr. Chairman, how you doing?
I don't do that, that's for sure. That is something that irks me to death. And to be sat in the stand... Certainly when somebody's under pressure, I just wouldn't go to the game. I would never even consider going to the game. What's great now is I'm doing this co-commentary and punditry. I get invited to the games and I'm working with legitimate reasons for being there, not just to put somebody else under pressure. And I'd hate that. And
I presume it happened to you at times.
I don't think it has. I don't think so. I don't think I've never witnessed that. Nobody's ever said to me, oh, so-and-so, I was in for your job. Certainly not at Ipswich. My job was as secure as anybody's up until the last 8 games when I decided with Marcus, we both said, and it was right to leave, right for both of us. No, I don't think it has, and I certainly won't do it. But I can get to the games by another medium now, by doing media work, and it's great, so it keeps me eyeing.
And so would you have an agent then, maybe letting people know you're available, or is it just, I'll wait and see, and do a bit of
every programme, Joe, I come on, I tell them I'm available, so yeah. I don't need an agent doing
well,
that.
I have
got somebody working
right,
for me,
okay.
Yes. I've got Jamie Morley, who played for me at Millwall
right.
a lot of years ago, and he now has New Era, it's his company, and he's done great, he's very successful, and he's got his ear to the ground. And sadly, it's always the case that people know who's going before they actually go. And I guess it would be wrong of any business just to sever the ties with the coach and the manager and then say, right, we'll start looking for it, because it is a business, we're all said and done. but it evokes more emotions, does football. That some, you know, trying to get somebody out of a job, people, you know, when your time's coming to an end, you can feel it, you can sense it. And so in the background, I guess they're doing the due diligence on somebody else.
Okay.
Although I haven't done that either. I've never done that.
I presume you'll get offers. I presume you must feel like your time's not done yet, because your record stands up to any kind of scrutiny.
I'm hoping so. It doesn't always, you know, there will be jobs coming up. It doesn't mean to say I'm going to get offered them.
Sure.
And I've been asked today about, you know, the foreign managers now that are coming in and having a great deal of success, of course. Bielsa at Leeds has come in. I mean, he's a vastly experienced manager. They've started like a train. They're brilliant. And others look at that and think, well, can they do it? But I generally think it's with the players that you've got. And of course it works always, and the one that really gives me the biggest comfort is Neil Warnock from last season getting the Cardiff job. They were almost relegated. They were in the relegation zone. He kept them up the first season, going to promote to the next season.
It's not bad for someone where you'd hear the game's passed him by, thrown around a
little bit. It hasn't passed him by. He's retired I don't know how many times. And he keeps coming back, but he's a great personality and he gets the best out of people.
Yeah. You picked a hell of a week from an Irish international point of view to be, you know, you're with Virgin Media Sport now, and so that means you have to sit in rooms with idiots like me and do interviews and they ask you questions.
I don't know if this is a compliment, but you're not the worst idiot I've sat in a room with, Joe.
It's a massive compliment. That's going on my CV.
Brilliant.
Yeah, can I use you as a reference? So, well, it's twofold. Look, there's the Roy Keane versus various players situation, and there's the Declan Rice one. Can I ask you about the Declan Rice one first?
You can.
Okay. Your own sense of nationality, identity growing up. Your father was from Waterford, I understand. Were you somebody who grew up probably wanting to play for England and line out for England, and then Ireland came calling, or what was your route through
jersey? I grew up in a family that understood I was half Irish and half English, and went to school. You know, Peter Fox was his best mate. He worked with firms that were Ruddock and Meighan, and all his mates were Irish. And, you know, I went to schools with, Fiona, my wife, whose mother's a Doyle from the Curragh. McNicholas's, you know, Keating's. They were all Irish families. That's what I knew. And my dad told me I could play for either. I never in a million years, he thought I'd be good enough to play for either. But I had the choice, if it ever came around. And when it did come around, it was an absolute no-brainer for me to play. But I'm asking people to have a bit of consideration for Declan Rice, because he's a very good player. I tried to get him on loan at Ipswich. We inquired about him. He's somebody that we should be wanting to play for, and quite clearly, you know, the management team do. But it's a very powerful argument. If Gareth Southgate, on the back of that World Cup, has rang him up and said, Declan, listen, just consider your future, because we've got this vibrant young team that's had a great World Cup, got to the semi-final, we could actually get to the final, we have a chance of winning this, with players like you coming through. You know, I've got, come and play with Harry Maguire and John Stones, I'll get Walker on the right. I don't know what he's saying to him, but that'd be me. If I'm in, or I want him, I'd be putting a very powerful argument up. And the other powerful argument, even more so, I think, is the euphoria that was, I've not seen since 96, and it wasn't even that good then, that this World Cup produced in England, and the togetherness, it was like us in 88, it was like us in 90. Yeah. Maybe not quite the people on the streets, but 94. It was that kind of feeling. And he might be just thinking, I'd like a bit of that, you know. And he's entitled for his choice. Now, it'll make it difficult for him if he decides to come back. It'll be difficult for him if he decides to come back until he comes back and he's the best player in the team and they qualify for a competition and everything's okay.
Yeah.
But my advice to him, we don't play for anybody. Get in West Ham's first team. He's 19. Said before, you know, I have a lot more perspective on life. Play 30 games this year in West Ham's team. Get them off the floor. Get them off the bottom of that league. Get them up the league. Star in a West Ham shirt for 1 year, for two seasons. And you know what? He will know then what he wants to do. And I think both management teams of England and Ireland will know whether he's the real deal, whether they want him in the team or whether they just want to qualify him. And if they're coming to him and saying, by the way, Declan, I want you to be the captain of my team. I want you to put you in the team. You're going to be the star. Mm. But when he's 21, 22, he can make his decision.
Yeah. And there's no generic hard rule here because it's such a personal thing for people and everybody's family backgrounds is different and their situation is different. So it's not like we can say, well, if he needs time, then we're not having him back. You know, you're not advocating that at all.
Not at all.
No,
I'm not advocating that because...
You've had those texts in. I mean, there's a feeling out there, I would say, hard to gauge how big, smaller, and you know, otherwise it is. But, you know, well, if he needs time to think, then fine. Leave him off.
Well, I do believe in the olive branch has to be offered and... He's a young boy.
Yeah.
He's a young boy. And you know what? And all this, me talking about it, you talking about everybody else, is only going to confuse the hell out of him even more. And that is why I'm saying, don't say anything, Declan. Just play your football. And say, park them both.
Yeah. Did you ever, when you were manager...
And then if he's the top player in the Premier League and we, Ireland, want him and he says he wants to play, if the weight of feeling is then that he's one of the top players in the Premier League, that... The weight of feelings that they don't want him, well, he's got a decision to make, hasn't he?
Yeah. Did you ever, as manager, I presume you had to speak with people who were potential players who were potentially interested and they were...
Yeah.
Well, so, was it purely pragmatic for you? And like, you know, look, he's a good player, let's get him in, even if he doesn't know where Ireland is on a map. Or did you ever feel a certain responsibility?
Well, come on, we got to... two World Cup finals, a European Championship, and it's been well documented that some of the players that we had weren't aware of their Irish heritage. They came in, they played, did wonderfully well. We had three great tournaments, well, certainly 88, 90. Well, I was there 94, just had finished, and I wasn't involved in that. And nobody said anything about that. That was about, you know, and I've just said to somebody else, my dad is from Waterford, and I was entitled to play for Ireland, and I wanted to. And I've asked lots of people the question. I'll ask you now. So you move to England, you have a son who can play for both, and he's born in England, and he can play for both England and Ireland. What do you do? What would you want to do? What would you think?
Whatever he wants to do.
Would you think he's entitled to play for Ireland through
absolutely,
your parentage?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's what everybody else says to me. Mm. So... get off the cases and let them play. We need those players. Mm. Let me tell you, without the influx of Andy Townsend, Ray Houghton, John Aldridge, Tony Cascarino, Mick McCarthy, I'm going to include myself in that, Chris Morris, Chris Hughton, all those players, you know, Jerry Payton was the backup to Paddy Bonnen, a great backup. We wouldn't have been the same team.
Yeah.
We might never have qualified for the competitions. And now, you know, I have a wonderful mother-in-law, Pat, who lives with us, she's 95, and she's always said to me, Mick, there are people from Ireland and there are Irish men. And she clues me as an Irish man, which I take a great sense of pride of.
No doubt. And it's clear it meant something to you. I suppose I'm wondering if when you were a manager, did you have any second thoughts when it was someone who maybe didn't have any sense of Irishness and kind of, oh, that, yeah, my grandmother, yeah, but I don't really know too much about it. Did you just kind of think, look, ultimately, look, the rules are the rules, a bit of pragmatism here. They're going to come in and they're going to do a good job and they're going to give 100%, so I have no issues. Was that generally your feeling?
I didn't ever get that, John.
Did you not?
I honestly can't sit here and say to you, oh, so-and-so didn't. You know, if I could, I wouldn't... I'll be brutally honest, if I could, I wouldn't let him down by saying who it was anyway. But I genuinely cannot remember that. Mm. But I do remember when I got the job, I was writing to every single club in the Premier League, Championship, First Division, Scottish Premiership and First Division, just asking if they got any players that had got... could you ask them, please? It was the easiest way of doing it.
Yeah.
I guess without the social media now, it'd be a lot easier. Could you ask them if they got any players who qualified to play for Ireland? Because I didn't know them all.
Right.
And it was great, because the first response I got back was from Glasgow Rangers, apologising and saying... No, I'm sorry, Mick, we don't have anybody who could play. And I did wonder when I even wrote the letter, I thought they might not. But anyway, it was nice to get the reply.
And they wished you the very best of luck.
They did, absolutely, yeah, they did.
So John Walters had a little scuffle with Roy Keane. There was a remark about time spent on the treatment table. And then Walters is back
in
the squad.
He's about 35, isn't he, John?
34 now, and he's going to be starting tomorrow, and he's indestructible. I think his knees are bad. I don't think he trains much.
Well.
And then Harry Arter, who has decided that he's ruled himself out of international football for the time being, certainly, and Martin O'Neill confirmed this week it was pretty much down to the altercation.
What about John on the treatment table? Anyway, I thought it was a... You know, I mean, he's 34. Nobody ever complained about Paul McGrath being on the treatment table.
No, I'm sure Roy, in the latter half of his career, spent plenty of time resting up or watching his body. It happens.
Well, you know, you never accuse a player of feigning an injury, do you?
No. That's a loaded comment to make.
Or do you have the right to do it? I don't know.
Are you saying you didn't?
I'm not saying anything I did. I'm just saying this. I feel for John if he's 34. You'd need a bit of time on that bed, I would imagine. I never got to that. I'd finished in my 34th year. My last year, I spent calf injuries, knee operation, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's tough then, you know. Sometimes people start questioning you. Not your fitness, or whether you want to play or not. And I mean, I can't imagine. I saw John Walters play. I watched the game on Johnny Walters. I watched him play on Saturday for Ipswich, and he run his proverbials off. So, you know, he was terrific.
What were your thoughts when you saw that, though, that Roy is getting involved in these situations?
It's, you know, it becomes a really difficult situation, doesn't it? For anything I say now, yeah. And of course, if it's myself and Roy,
it's a headline.
You know, having had the biggest spat in probably World Cup football, one of them. And there's going to be headlines because I've spoken to everybody today. And I said, throughout my 26 years, and if you want to ask all the players, all the chairmen, people I've worked with, I have been a really all-inclusive manager that likes really good harmony, team spirit. And I said, you're either in my tent peeing out or you're outside peeing in. So you're one of us or you're not. And that's always been the case. And you spend your time managing players and, you know, rubbing the tummies and patting the back and kicking them up the backside and, you know, giving them a carrot, giving them a bit of stick. You're managing people.
Yes.
And it's hard work. It's difficult.
As Roy's learning, I'm sure.
Well, you see, you're saying that. Yeah, absolutely. As we all learn. Mm. And I've been a mediator. I don't want to fall out with people, and people are watching this, do me a favour, it's one of the biggest fallouts ever, but that's the case. But let me tell you, the olive branch was handed out in 2002. It was handed to, will he come back, having been sent home.
So after the infamous meeting, it was then handed out?
And then it was handed out, and then it was...
How was that handed out? Like, it's not a direct phone call, I presume.
No, but it was, yes, if they opportunities there for you to come back if you want to come back, chose not to. So I'm talking about one of the biggest spats in world football. Well, I don't know, I was going off with Harry Arter and Declan Rice and Johnny Walters. It doesn't seem to me it's of that biblical proportions, is it?
I definitely don't think it's of that biblical proportions. No, couldn't
so,
be.
So, you know, I said in 2002, I'll be walking down the street, and I made a joke back in Barnsley with my flat cap and ferret in my pocket and my little Jack Russell, and somebody said, oh, that's so-and-so. Yeah. And it's turning out to be...
Very prescient. Yeah, I've no doubt. Because I do remember Carton House last year, I think you may have...
We're talking around it now.
I know. We're not getting... You don't want to get into it.
I'm not going to get into it.
Exactly. Now. And there's no point in me trying to, because you're going to say sod off, frankly.
Correct. But generically around it, I'm telling you how I manage people and how I get the best out of people. And I have, and I've never left a club or a country where the players and staff have gone, well, we're glad to see the back of him.
No, I know. Kev's in here, works in the show, and has only good things to say about you, you know. And to be honest, when Irish manager job comes up, huge amount of people are saying, get Mick back. We'd love to have him back. Do you ever feel you have unfinished business? Because, of course, Saipan was going to leak into the following campaign. That was going to be very, very difficult and toxic. But do you ever think to yourself now, you're still young enough that you have some unfinished business?
I don't think of it that way, because I think my business I did in the job was good.
Yeah.
And we had a huge amount of success. My only regret is not qualifying for the European Championships 2 years before when we drew in Macedonia, and that rankles with me still. That's my biggest disappointment in football. And So I don't feel as that I've got to come back and qualify for the European Championships because we qualify for the World Cup. And
yeah.
Well, I probably did all that. And I oversaw an unbelievable change in personnel from when I took over from Jack to when we went to 2002, when I've got, you know, Robbie Keane and Damien Duff and Matty Holland and Kintz and Kev Kilbane on the left, and I'm going through, you know, Gary Kelly and Macca and all the players that came through, and pretty much from, you know, I know some of the lads have been in the youth squad with Brian Kerr and done really well. But they were put in as, I remember going to the Czech Republic and playing a team, and it was like a kindergarten team. But they all came through, and we ended up having a really good time of it because of that. So, you know, I look back on my time fondly and as a success, but I don't look back thinking I've got unfinished business now.
I think you're entitled, and it was probably a clumsy way of putting it. So I'll put it the other way. Yeah. I'm not looking for a kind of cheap headline. Mick says he would go back, but would you go back? I mean, like, would you like to go back at some stage down the line? Do you think it's something? Yeah, I could see myself doing that again. I know you're conscious of this being in the paper tomorrow and probably current management reading.
It's all going in the paper. Right, I can't help it. You know.
So would you like to go back potentially in the future, or would you rule it out and say I'd never go back?
Well, ever there's somebody in a job, yeah, it'd be like you asking me if I'd like the Sheffield Wednesday
job.
It's difficult. I'm not going to answer that question because it's wrong. Somebody's in situ. If, you know, if there's a job available and you said, would I like to go back? And I've said, well, yes, I would. Mm. Would I manage another international team? Yeah, I would, because I enjoyed it. Mm. And it was great fun. And I've seen Roberto Martinez have great success with Belgium. He's got a great squad of players. So I would consider that. Mm. I turned down the opportunity to manage South Korea when I was at Wolves. And they offered me a new contract. I signed it and we got promoted that season. So that was a good decision. I will not talk about anybody else's job. As far as I'm aware, 92 managers are in situ and all the international jobs are filled.
Yeah. My brain went into overdrive there. When you said you'd never accuse a player of feigning injury, that was clearly a reference to 02. And I feel it's weird for me not to follow up on that. Are you saying that you never said it? Or...
Well, that comment's being made, isn't it? You can never.
That's what Roy said. I mean, I was accused of feigning injury, and you can't do that, and that's why I lost the plot.
Well, you have to look back on all the things that were said. There's only been 1,955,000 pages written on it, so I'll let that one lie at that.
Okay. Because, I appreciate you. You don't want to get into it. It's totally fair enough, and it's unfair.
No, we're talking about something I'm not going to get into, so I'm going to let it lie. As we said before, we went on air, that if I tell you to shut up, I will.
Do. I do remember Curtin House, you mentioned, that, it's funny, you go through life, you mentioned the thing about being an old
it's
man.
It's just an irony, privacy. That's all. That's all I would say about that. It's just a bit of an irony.
Okay, good. Well, I wanted you to clear it up.
It's a bit of an irony.
Fine, okay, we'll leave it at that then. But you did say at Curtin House that it's funny if you're out or you bump into fans, or you might be playing in a celebrity golf thing, or you might be out for a drink somewhere, or meeting new people around a dinner table, almost privately you're counting down until they get the courage to bring up 02. That's almost been a weird way, the legacy of it.
I usually congratulate the person that does it. Well done, Mark, congratulations. And he goes, well, you brought it up.
Yeah.
I knew somebody would.
You're today's winner.
And I haven't got my money on you, which is a bit of a disappointment.
Does that bug you?
Sometimes a bit. Yeah. I don't think my career, my personality should be judged on that.
That's the point I'm making.
That point in life.
It's so bloody seismic, and it's so unfair that it would, because you look at your career from Millwall, the success you had with Ireland, Sunderland, you get them up into the Premier League, win a championship. Wolves, you get them up, get manager of the season, keep them up twice. You've done a brilliant job with Ipswich. And yet, the horrible truth is, it probably does overshadow it because it was so seismic. And I can see how that would book you.
I think if that's what people know about my career, I mean, it's one thing that people will know. I mean, I remember being at Arsenal and a chap was speaking to me, and his two sons were there, and he said Mick played, you know, and I said, oh, did you? I said, yeah, I did. So where did you play? So I said, well, I played for Barnsley, and okay, so I played for Manchester City. Mm. Oh. And I played for Celtic. Oh, and I played for Olympique Lyonnais and Millwall. sort of started getting interested. And did you ever play international? Yeah, I did. I played for Ireland. I captained them in the... I was 88. I played in the European Championships and captained in the World Cup. And 57 caps. And I actually managed them as well. And so suddenly these kids who had no idea who I was, and of course, which was lovely, I didn't have to put the seismic thing in. But I guess that old man was wondering if I was going to mention it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess there's not much you can do about it.
Look, it's part of my career, it's part of my life, and you know what? It's not the worst part of my life. It was probably the worst period that happened, and the most difficult time to manage to be a part of.
Did you ever think about walking away from football
afterwards? No, never a chance. No. It's part of the gig. It's part of it. Mm. I said earlier, it's managing people, managing players. And you know what, over the course of my 26 years, oh, by the way, there's far more positives than negatives in terms of managing people. I had a lovely email this morning. Somebody had asked me to help him with a coaching badge, and one of the lads who played for me, and at the bottom of it put, and listen, I just, you know, later in life now, I realise, I just like to thank you for being brutally honest with me and not leaving me hanging, and all the help that you gave me and everything you did for me, which I didn't really appreciate at the time, and now looking back I did, and I'm going into coaching, and those values, those, you know, those models, those values, those things that I instilled in him are the first thing he's putting into his players, which I thought was lovely.
Okay. Listen, it's great to get you in. I love talking to you, I think, and I've no doubt you'll be back in work soon, and then you won't have to come and talk to idiots like me.
It's a pleasure talking to you. It really is. I enjoyed it.
60. Are you kind of shocked you're at 60?
I'm wondering where it's gone.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what... I have to be honest. Some mornings I throw my legs out of bed and stand up and I creak. I think that's what 60 feels like.
Yeah.
But once I'm up and about and I've done 20, 30 miles on my bike and I'm chasing around and, you know, I don't know what you should feel like. I still feel very young and very enthused and energetic and ambitious, to be honest with you.
Good. Well, listen, we'll be looking out for you on Virgin Media Sports. Your debut's tomorrow, and then I'm sure we'll see you on our screens and see you back in work as well, I'm sure, soon on the football
train. Great,
thanks. Cheers. Pleasure.
Pleasure, thank you.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.